All right, please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter in chapter 5. We're going to take a little break from our study in the book of Acts and seeing the glory of God in his providence. And we will see that in our passage today, but I'm going to be honest with you, this is going to be a little bit tougher sermon for me to preach, and probably, I'm assuming, for you as you listen. And it's hard for preachers to preach on very difficult subjects because we realize that these are things that we struggle with, and there's times where I feel like a hypocrite in some of these principles that I'm going to share today. But just keep in mind that whenever a preacher preaches, he's preaching to himself and finding hope in the gospel just like those who hear. So I hope today we can gather at the foot of the cross together with joy and hope in Jesus Christ, that something is very difficult for us, that through Christ we can see his power at work and we can see gospel growth in our own lives. So if you're in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 5, I'm going to begin in verse 5. If you would stand for the reading of God's word, 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we deal with the subject of submission to God-given authorities, Lord, we admit that we struggle. Our hearts are rebellious. They resist. They find excuses and find loopholes and find reasons why it doesn't apply to us. But God, I pray that your Spirit would give us a heart of humility so that, Lord, you could lift us up, that you could give us grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be talking about the subject of submission this morning. If you have your Bibles, and you can put your finger there in 1 Peter, we will return. But if you would go over to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 21, I want to show you another passage where we see this idea. And what's interesting is in the middle of the discussion, both in 1 Peter and in Ephesians, in the middle of discussion of relationships, how we relate to things that God has, there are people that God has put in our lives, and it talks about marriage and parenting and church relationships and all these things. In the middle of these, in both passages, he makes this statement, like in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And so when we hear this term submission, sometimes what we hear is not submission. What we hear is, I'm going to be a doormat. I'm going to be a pushover. I'm just doomed to being a victim. We think of submission like something that is forced upon us, like a submission hold. If you ever have been part of martial arts or seen martial arts or MMA or something like that, you know that you can use a submission hold in order to cause your opponent to tap out, to sort of give up the fight. You can put them in an arm bar. You can put them in a leg lock. You can put them in a rear naked choke hold. They'll just pass out like that. and we kind of see submission like that. It's something that they're inflicting something upon me, and because of pain, I'm willing to yield. Or because I pass out or just give up, I'm having to yield. But biblical submission is far different. It's far different. And really, our example for it is, in fact, the example of our Lord. He was willing in his humanity to submit both to earthly authority, including his parents, including, he said, because the Pharisees or the leaders sit in Moses' seat, you should listen. He recognized the spiritual authority in his life, but also certainly he yielded to heavenly authority. And what I want to gain this morning from our look at submission is that God has called us to willingly yield our will and desires, and here it is, for reason, for God's glory and others' good. I think that's why our Savior yielded, why he submitted, because he was willing to submit his will, his desires, for God's glory and for others' good, namely those whom he came to save. And we're going to look at several different principles. We're going to look at, first of all, at the resistance to submission. We all struggle with it. If you think you don't, then you don't understand what it is. We're going to look at the rules of submission. We're going to look at the reasons why we should submit. And, we're going to also look at reliance for submission. And then we're going to look at the reward for submission. I'll get to those in just a minute. But let's realize that in 1 Peter, we have a lot of mentioning of submission. He talks about it in context with our relationships within the church, submission to government, submission in marriage, submission even with employer-employee relationships through that vehicle of talking about slaves and their masters. We see a lot of mention of submission, and it's easy to say, well, yeah, if everything's just right and just perfect, it's easy to submit. I mean, if my employer was the best boss ever, that would make it really easy, but he's not. He's a jerk. If my husband was really the kind of husband he should be, it'd make it a whole lot easier for me to follow his leadership. Boy, if the church leaders were just better people, then it would make it easy. But what we realize is that in 1 Peter, we don't have an optimal situation. We have a very difficult situation, and yet he doesn't shy away for the need of having submission. He was talking to a people that had been beaten down by persecution. But what Peter shows us in his book is that by living holy and hope-filled lives, even in a hostile environment, or I should say, especially in a hostile environment, we show the world the glory of Christ and the gospel. So let me bring it down to our level. When we show a willingness to submit to God-given authority, we show a world that's in rebellion how Christ is better. And so Peter didn't shy away from it. He didn't say, hey, listen, man, you're in a really bad circumstance, so you don't have to submit. It's just too hard right now. No, he said, because you're in a difficult situation, especially you have an opportunity to show the glory of the gospel. And I want us to see it that way too. I want us to see that things don't have to be perfect. Submission doesn't require perfect circumstances. It just requires a perfect Savior. We can submit to flawed leaders and flawed authorities because we serve a flawless Lord. We can submit not because we trust those in authority, but because we trust God who's given us that authority, and we trust Christ who dwells in us to be able to submit. What we're doing is we're not looking at the authority and judging whether or not they're worthy to be followed. We're instead seeing God above and beyond all, the ultimate authority, and we're putting our trust in him, not the immediate authority, but we're putting our trust in God, which gives us then the freedom to submit to lower authority by the power of God. So let's talk about that resistance to submission, okay? Let's talk about that for a moment. Again, what do we mean by submission? A willingness to yield my will and my desires for God's glory and others' good. This is something that we do that is willingly. If we're made to yield, then we're not really submitting, are we? That's not the same thing. It's like the story of the little boy. Mom tells the little boy to sit down. He says no. She spanks him. Sit down, Johnny. He wouldn't sit down. Spanks him again. And then says, sit down. So finally, Johnny's through with the spankings. He gives in. He sits down and says, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm a standing up on the inside. That's not submission. To acquiesce externally, but have a heart of rebellion on the outside. It means to yield our will and desires, not fighting for control, but giving up our will and giving up our desires because we realize that it pleases God and that it is good for others, that God has a purpose in our willingness to submit ourselves to others. And it begins when we accept that God has ordained authority in our lives for good. See, our problem is we start to think in our pride that no one knows it better than me. So why should I ever yield my will or my desires to another person? To begin with, submission just has to start by saying this: there are God-ordained authorities that God has given me, and they are for my good, and ultimately, they're for His glory. And we mature beyond just simply accepting that these authorities exist, and we start to mature into the point where we begin to appreciate the reason why God put them in our lives. You see, we see the benefit of authority in our lives, that God has given us authority in our lives to help us grow, for human flourishing, so that the world would be orderly and organized, and also as a framework for His accomplishing His will in this world. You understand that God established the family in the headship of the father, the husband, in order that families may flourish. God ordained government, even sometimes really terrible government, in order as a whole for humans to flourish and communities to be orderly. That is the framework in which He has the framework He designed so that He can carry out His will in our world. And that means it's good, not bad. Whether we like it or not, it is good, not bad. So submission then is working willingly within the context of the roles that God has given, defined for us so that He would be glorified in others' good. You might say, I don't like having a boss, someone telling me what to do. And yet we understand that God puts these kind of authorities into our life so that we can grow. Sometimes we don't like when we have to submit ourselves to church membership and say, I'm going to commit myself to this group of people, which means I'm yielding some of my own will, some of my own desires, some of my own authority for the good of other people because God said it was good. And it pleases Him. Submission is a difficult thing. But when we grab a hold of it, we not only appreciate it, but we begin, or not only accept it, but we begin to appreciate its place in our life. But submission is difficult because of indwelling sin. Adam and Eve struggled with submission. Do you think about this? That they struggled with submission before the fall. Before they ever fell, they were tempted not to submit to God, but to go their own way, and they yielded. How much harder is it for us? Yes, the fall included unbelief. They did not believe that God was good. Therefore, they chose another pathway. That's how Satan tempted them. Is God really out for your good? Why don't you make your choices? Why listen to Him when you can be the master of your own fate? Control of your own destiny, control of your own life. But we see that Adam and Eve desired to live independently from God, to have to answer to no one but themselves. Do you feel that in your soul? Do you feel when you have to submit to someone this pain that comes from not wanting to have to yield to someone else's ideas or their will, their desires? Yes, it's difficult. Why? Because Romans 8 reminds us that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to God's law. It can't, and nor can it be, so that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If it was hard for Adam and Eve, it's harder for us. Because now, having a fallen nature that is naturally rebellious. Listen, our inclination is to rebel and say, no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going my own way, I'm making my own choices, and I'm not going to answer to anyone. That is our natural bent. And here's the thing. We like to think that we can be really submissive to God, but resist submission to God-ordained authority and still be mature Christians. We can even point to all kinds of ways in which we are obedient to God. Oh, you see, in the Bible, God connects submission to authority, human authority, with submission to God. And we like to think that, hey, I'm submissive to God, I'm obedient to God, but I'm not going to let other people tell me what to do. And still believe that we're really mature Christians. Let me say this, that is the opposite. The truth is our response to God-given authority is a measure of our maturity. It is the tangible evidence of how we're doing spiritually. That's why Peter says, be submissive to one another. You can see how healthy your heart is toward God in part by looking at your response to God-given authority. Listen, if you respond badly to the authority God has put in your life, you can make any excuse you want to. Your heart is not healthy. And ultimately, you're not submissive to God because God put them in your life. Don't think that just because you're obedient in one area that you're submissive. I mean, most of us are willing to concede a few things, right? I'm willing to give in to a few things, here, the things that are not that important to me. You know what the real measure comes in? Is when you're asked to do something that you don't want to do. I'm not talking about something evil. We appeal to God in those cases, but I'm talking about something that we should be willing to yield to, but we don't. Because the truth is, we don't want to give control of our will or of our choices to someone else. We don't want outside control. And here's the truth is you know the areas of your life where you bristle when you have to yield. They're the things that immediately you're like, don't go there, preacher. Don't talk about that. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. You see, we start to activate our inner lawyer and we start defending ourselves and making excuses for why I shouldn't have to yield in this area, why I shouldn't have to follow that authority. Lord, I don't think Jesus himself could follow that husband of mine. But that is where it really matters. It's those areas that are the hardest for us to yield that become the test of whether or not we are truly submissive. We resist it. But secondly, I want to see the rules of submission. Now, I use this word rules for a couple reasons. Some might object to my word choice in this case. But I choose rules for two reasons. Number one is I'm trying to alliterate. And it starts with R, and all my points start with R. I need an R. But secondly, it proves my last point. What did you think when you heard the word rules? Did you stiffen up a little bit? Did you say, it's not about rules, it's about relationship? Friend, that can be a cover for lack of submission. It can be. It is about relationship. And we hear that word, And our flesh just recoils against it. It hates it. It finds reasons not to have to yield. Now that I've made my point, here's my real next point. The reasons for submission. Do you like that one better? You like that? That word fits in a little bit better? I'm sorry, I know that was really cruel to do. But it made a point in my own heart. When I heard rules, I was like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm like, oh, wait, why? Because I don't like rules. No rules, just right. That's terrible theology. It may sell some steaks, but it's really bad theology. So let's talk about the reasons for submission, okay? We look at this passage, and notice how he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. He's saying here that every one of us need submission. Submission is really for everyone because everyone needs it. We all have to submit to someone. There's only one person in the universe that doesn't submit to anyone else. You say, Jesus. No, Jesus did submit to the Father. He said, not my will, but thine. It was God the Father. But here's the thing is, if you're not God the Father, then there's someone you need to submit to. Usually, multiple relationships and where we have to find submission. God knew we all needed it because God wanted to help us put our rebellious natures under control and to be able to kind of see where we're at spiritually when it comes to our rebellion. I can see how well I'm doing by how I respond to being submissive to other people. If I'm fighting, resisting, angry, dragging my feet, finding reasons why I don't have to, it means I have some growing to do, and I've got a heart problem that needs to be brought under the power of Christ. He's given us many relationships that require submission. I mean, first of all, we all have to submit to Christ, right? Citizens are called to submit to the government. Husbands are called to submit to their wives by loving them like Christ and treating them with honor. He says to dwell with them according to knowledge. There is a sense in which men submit to their wives, not as their wives being the leader of the home. God's called men to do that. But they do submit to them by saying, I'm going to put your needs before mine. I'm going to love you like Christ. I'm going to understand your heart so that I can lead you in a way that is nourishing and encouraging to you. And it says that you're to honor them as the weaker vessel. That means I put my wife's needs before mine. I don't always get my way. Listen, if you think being at the top, being the leader, means you get your own way and that's why you want to be there, you don't understand what leadership is. Because all throughout scriptures, he says, you want to lead, be a servant. And being a leader in your home, men, is about you being the biggest servant in your family. You show the rest of your family what serving looks like by putting the needs of your family above yourself. Children have to submit to parents. Church members submit to each other. Employers and to employees to employers. There's all kinds of relationships in which God has given us in 1 Peter, and we don't have the time to look at how we do that in every case. That's a whole nother study all on its own, a beneficial one. I encourage you to get into Ephesians, get into 1 Peter, and see what God says about how we submit to one another. What does it mean to be a church member in submission? What does it mean to be an employee in submission? Listen, submission, number two, is a vital part of the discipleship process. You cannot be a good disciple of Christ if you cannot submit to others. I mean, first of all, you're submitting to Christ. Now, people will kind of get around that and says, well, I don't mind submitting to Christ. I mean, he's perfect, but I'm not going to submit to that guy. I'm not going to submit to that church. I'm not going to follow that person. I'm not going to listen to them. No way. But the fact is you can't escape the many references in Scripture to the importance of discipling relationships and how submission in those relationships are beneficial. I want you to notice here it says this, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Now, the elders here is not referring to pastors, pastor teachers. I think it's referring to, in fact, mature believers in the church. All of the mature believers of the church. And it's saying, hey, you younger Christians who are not as experienced in your faith, those who are still younger Christians and in need of maturity, you be willing to put yourself in submissive discipling relationships with older Christians, mature Christians, so that you can grow. The Bible repeatedly gives commands to get wisdom by listening to godly, mature believers. Look in the Old Testament. One of those is the book of Proverbs. Over and over, it's a father telling a son, listen to what I'm saying. Get wisdom. He's passing on his wisdom to a younger generation. This is why also I think it says in the scriptures for the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to love their children. Why? Because we are literally learning to submit ourselves to these relationships. We're learning how to submit ourselves to God. And you find a believer who is unwilling to submit to being discipled and trained by other people because of their pride, and what you find is a person who is in prideful rebellion against God. No matter how you try to spin it, that's exactly what it is. Now, on that note, I want to talk to parents. I cannot emphasize this enough. Parents, it's your responsibility to train your children in the area of biblical submission. You are the first discipler in your child's life of what it looks like to submit to God by submitting to the authority or parental authority. And I believe this. Many a young person has had lifelong problems with submission because they never learned to submit at home. In essence, parents, if we don't do this, we're handicapping our children for a very long time. There are many people who struggle in their marriage, in their jobs, and as church members, and even with the law, because their parents didn't train them to submit. Now, listen, I want to be clear here. I'm not saying that if your children struggle in those areas, it means you fail. I'm not saying that. Listen, we all fail. We get that. We can't be perfect. There's only one perfect teacher, and that's Christ. But what I'm trying to say is it's important that we get a hold of this. Parents, train your children to obey right away with a happy heart, and do not accept anything less. If you have to tell your child 5 times to do something, then you're not training them. They are training you. That's not how God wants it. And listen, I want to be tender and pastoral. And listen, having been a parent, having raised four children, it's difficult. It is exhausting. And here's the thing is you never really get a break from it. Unless you say, hey, grandma, let them come over to your house for the day. But it's a never-ending thing. Listen, if we don't train our children to listen to us the first time and respond with a happy heart, then what we're telling them is we don't have to submit our desires to anyone. We can do whatever we want, and there's no consequences. Let me ask you this. Is that how life works? If they go to their job and they say, their boss says, hey, I want you to do this project, and they don't do it, will it be okay and they just keep on working, no problem? Now, some of you are saying, I don't know, my work, we got some of those guys. Okay. But how does life work? You refuse to listen to your boss and you get fired. You lose your livelihood. There are serious consequences. You refuse to yield yourself in the subject of marriage, and you may lose your marriage. Folks, these are very serious consequences. So I encourage you, in raising your children, insist that they hear you and they obey you the first time. And if they don't, let them know there are consequences. Now, when they are very young, you don't need to give them reasons. They won't understand them anyway. They need to just learn if mom and dad say do this, they immediately do it without question. Now, as they get older, you should train them the biblical reasoning behind all of the things you do. Number one, that will clarify them in your mind. And number two, it'll help them to see it's not just unquestioning obedience without thought. It is literally biblical, rational, thoughtful obedience to God by being obedient to their parents. Proverbs chapter 23 reminds us, don't withhold correction from a child. For if you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You will strike him with a rod and you will deliver his soul from hell. Wait a minute. Are you saying that learning to submit through corporal punishment? Corporal means spanking, not capital punishment. That's something entirely different. We don't do that. It says it's so serious that you're literally delivering their soul from hell. You're training them that there has to be submission to God-given authority. And if you don't, there are heavy consequences. So that one day when you say Christ has commanded all to repent and believe the gospel, they will know when God says something, he means it. And they can respond. That's why it's so important for us to train. And unfortunately, sometimes we see parents who tell their children over and over to do something, and the child just continues to do what they want until finally the parent gives up in frustration. Or worse, they snap and they over-discipline. Either one of those are not good options. Because one trains them, I don't have to listen until mom and dad are really serious. And I can hear when dad's serious. So they just play the game where they only listen when they're like, okay, I can hear the level of dad's voice is getting up to here, and spanking, and T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7. That is not what God desires for us in submission. Only submit if we think we're going to get a spanking. That's not what we're training our children to do. Or training them to just ignore authorities in their life. We train them to ignore God's voice in their lives as well. I mean, why should I listen to God and his word and listen to the Holy Spirit and respond? I don't listen to my parents and nothing happens. That is not how God disciplines. And sometimes we can then follow this behavior with an excuse. Well, they're just really tired. They're just really hungry. They didn't get a good nap. You know, when we do that, you know what we're saying? Is you don't have to obey if it's hard. Is that how life works? Is that the principle that God wants us to live? Hey, if I give you a command that's really hard, don't worry about that one. Just throw that one out because that one's just too hard. No. Now, I will say this. There have been times as a parent where I was not sensitive to my child's needs for naps or for food, and so it made them cranky. We can be understanding of those things, but we still have to, I mean, in other words, I would learn, hey, that child needs to, I need to pack a snack. That child, when I get hangry, I start struggling with my attitude too. I get that. So we're sensitive to their needs, but we also still say, even if it's hard, you must obey. Abigail Dodds also said something very insightful. She said, one thing that often gets mistaken for submission is acquiescence. Acquiescence is different than willingly placing yourself under another's authority. When we acquiesce, we reserve the right to be on our own team inwardly, while outwardly appear to be on the same team. We're not just saying, okay, I got to give in because the consequences are too high. The goal is to say, no, God has given me this authority. It is for my good, it is for God's glory, and I want to do all that I can to love and honor and serve that authority that God has given me. But thirdly, because submission teaches humility. Notice what it says here. All of you be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We learn humility in part by willing to submit. But the problem is not only are we rebels, but we're proud about it. We are prideful rebels. And yielding control of ourselves to someone else kills our pride. Submission is active faith, not passive resignation. It is willing surrender to God, not coerced surrender to a foe. That is the heart that God wants us to have. The reason why I submit is not because I'm giving up, because I can't fight. It's because I'm willingly, joyfully active in my faith to choose to obey. And submission reveals our submission to God. Abigail Dodds also said this, and this is not an exact quote, but the essence of what she said. She said, when we shrug off submission, we minimize and make light of our submission to God. That is a powerful statement. When we minimize our submission to God-given authority, we're minimizing and making light of our submission to God. Over and over, what we read is this, that we're to submit in the fear of the Lord. What do you think that means? It's really our respect for God that allows us to surrender and submit, or should say, to submit to earthly authority. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, he says, you submit to governments as bondservants of God. You know why you can obey your government? Because you're really a servant of God. Colossians 3:8 says, wives should submit to their husbands because it's fitting in the Lord. 1 Peter 3:2, submission of a wife to an unbelieving husband demonstrates your reverence, it says, to God. And of course, Romans chapter 13 says there's no authority except from God. We looked at this a few weeks ago when we looked at human government. But it says there's no authority that exists except that from which God ordained. Now, while this verse certainly reminds us that God's control extends over the nations and the governments that exist in our world, nothing exists without God's providence, you know, God ordained it, it says something more than just that. It's saying that God created authority as an idea. Not just a specific one, yes, that's true, but rather God ordained that we have authority. Parental and marriage and church and governmental. God put that into existence. Therefore, although these things can act evil, these authorities sometimes act evil, their existence is not evil. It's good. But I want to say some things that submission is not. Number one, it's not absolute loyalty or unquestioned obedience in adults. When your child is two, you don't have to explain to him why he has to take a nap. You just say, you're going to lay down and take a nap. Because there is no explanation that will make sense to a two-year-old. Now, as they get older, you may start talking about how God has given us rest for our good. You can start to give them a theology of why rest is important. But when they're young, they just have to obey. But when it comes to adult relationships, we'll say, to the government, to in marriage and stuff like this, God is not asking for absolute loyalty or unquestioned obedience. Now, when I want to make a statement, I want you to listen. Any human who demands unquestioned, unqualified obedience is going to abuse you. Any human, now again, we're not talking about parents and little children, that's necessary, but any human who demands unquestioned, unqualified obedience and loyalty is going to abuse you. Listen, a pastor doesn't have the right to ask for unquestioned loyalty and obedience. A pastor who asks that is going to abuse you. That is a bad pastor. You know what? You know how we see authority even in the leadership team? Is God's word stands over all of us. Christ's authority is over all of us. And all of us have to submit to that. There's a role that God has asked us to play to lead the church and to shepherd it, and we'll do that. But we are submissive to the church in regards to everything that the scripture says. I do something unscriptural, a child can come and say, "Pastor, you lied. Lying is evil. And I must listen." Because he's appealing to the word of God. If I have a bad attitude, anybody in this church can go and say, "Hey, Pastor." Now, I ask that hopefully I will do this for you and you'll do this for me. We were tender and we ask questions and make sure we understand the situation. We don't want to just give out accusations unfounded. But I could have a bad attitude and do something I shouldn't, and anyone in this church has the right to say, "Pastor, God said this, but you're doing this." And I have to submit to that authority. You see, it's a beautiful thing. We all submit to one another. The leaders submit to each other. We submit to the church. The church submit to the leaders. It's this beautiful mutual submission that's constantly going on. But no human can demand absolute, unquestioned, and unqualified obedience because we all appeal to the higher authority, which is Christ. And none of us get to take that right for ourselves. Really, submission is placing ultimate loyalty in Christ. I'm able to submit to the church because not because I think you all are perfect, but because I believe that Christ is the head of the church and I trust him. You're going to make mistakes, but I can trust him. You can look at me and say, "Hey, I know you're just a human, Pastor. I know you're just a man. You're going to make mistakes, but ultimately, I'm not looking at you or the other leaders. I'm looking unto Christ." So I can submit myself in this church because I trust him, not because I trust you. Now, hopefully, we do build a measure of trust among ourselves. And we learn to trust each other. But we learn that's not absolute. But second of all, it doesn't require total agreement. Submission isn't turning off your brain. No, submission actually is willingly working to influence your leaders for good. It is thoughtful, biblical obedience to Christ and to the authority he's placed in our life as they reflect Christ's principles in his word. So don't turn off your brain. Don't say, "Well, this just means I have to do whatever I'm told. I'm just a robot." No. We want thoughtful. Christ wants thoughtful, rational obedience, biblical. Think through the issues and say, "Why is it that I should do this thing?" Ask questions. One thing that just aggravates me is when people say, "Don't ask questions, just do." I want you to ask questions. Because the truth is I realize I could be wrong. And your questions could prompt me to think more biblically. We all need that. But I'm going to talk about reliance for submission. I need to check my time. Okay. You know what? I think I'm going to end here. There's some other things I think are really important. The reward of submission. Here's the thing is, I'll use the pulpit mic. See, I can keep on going for 20 minutes. No, I'm not going to do that. I want you to see that God really has given us beautiful rewards for being willing to trust him and submit. He gives grace to the humble. He says that he may exalt you in due time. So we'll leave that for another Sunday. And so my live it out section is all based on what I was going to say in about 20 minutes from now. So I can't say that. But let me just leave you with this thought. Would you be willing this week to say, "Lord, what areas do you want me to submit to you? What areas am I resisting?" Now, again, if there's something unbiblical that you're being asked to do, your duty is to resist. Because remember, You can resist immediate authority if they violate God's authority. You see, they're under God. So if someone tells us to do something unscriptural, we say, you can't say that because the ultimate authority is God, and you're disobeying God. And so we can appeal to that. So we're not just blind followers, we're thoughtful followers of God. But I want you to ask yourself this week, what are those areas that God wants, that he wants me to give him? And we didn't have a chance to talk to it about today, but understand that Christ is our example of how to be submissive. Understand that he's not only just the example, he is the power. It is Christ, the one who submitted to the Father, who dwells in us, who helps us submit to the Father. It is Christ who even submitted to his parents, that submitted to legal authorities. It is the same that paid his taxes. It is that same Christ who empowers us to submit when it's difficult. And we'll leave that there. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reminding us that submission does not rob us of joy. What it takes away is the frustration of trying to control the world that we are not in control of. God, thank you for reminding us that submission isn't an act of passive resignation, but of willful, active faith in you. So whatever it is in our hearts that we need to stop fighting for control, stop fighting for our way, Lord, through the power of Christ, help us to follow the example of Christ and be willing to give it to you. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I just want to do something just real brief. I'm going to remind you today, as many of you know, is 9/11. It is also known as Patriots Day, in memory of those who died during that horrible, tragic event in our nation's history. Jeremiah 29:7 says that when the people of Israel would be scattered across the world because of the deportation, in part because they wouldn't submit to the Lord, he said this: wherever you go, seek the peace and prosperity of your nation or of the city. But he means, wherever you go, seek to bring peace and prosperity to that place. God has planted us here in Higginsville, Lafayette County, Missouri, and ultimately in America. We have a unique opportunity to seek the peace and prosperity of our nation by living out our faith, even if it's in a hostile situation like in 1 Peter. Let's do that. Let's seek the peace. Pray for those who are hurting today because they remember who they lost. Pray for those who are serving in our military across the world, and pray for their families as they miss them very much. And so let's bring peace and prosperity by loving our neighbor, sharing their hurt, and praying for their good. Can we do that? So I'm going to say a second prayer, and I'm going to pray for those things. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are hurting today because they've lost loved ones. We pray for peace in their hearts, and that they may know the peace of Jesus Christ. Enter into their pain and bring healing. And God, help us to be sensitive and enter into their pain with them and walk with them. Lord, we pray for those who are serving, who are away from their families. It's so hard. They miss some of those events, those life events that we rejoice in, like birthdays and anniversaries, and they're gone. Serving for the good of our nation and other places, God, we pray that you might give them grace and strength. Pray for their families, Lord. They're missing them. God, please pray for strength and grace for them. And Lord, we seek the peace of our nation. And God, we seem like we're really fractured right now. People are angry. Lord, help us to be agents of peace to those around us.
to seek, to pray for peace, and to work toward peace in whatever way we can. God, I pray that we would speak words of peace and have attitudes of peace, and that by doing that, we can help our nation to flourish. And Lord, help us to preach about He who is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, who will one day return and establish real, unending peace in our world. Lord, our hope is in Him. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. We're dismissed.